Around the word, Father, as always, we approach the word with faith, and we believe we receive revelation and impartation and information that causes us to change, causes us to be different. Father, we thank you that we're healed from the top of our head all the way down to the soles of our feet. Thank you, Lord God, we're living and not dying and declaring the works of the Lord. Thank you, Father, the gifts of the Spirit have free course to flow in this place, especially the power of gifts, Father, special faith, working the miracles and gifts of healing. Father, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. How y'all doing? That's what y'all always say. Amen. We've been talking about the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think, what week is this? Three, four? What is this?
Three.
That's what I thought. It's part three. And tonight we're going to talk about the healing of the man that was born by four. The healing of the man that was born or carried by four. All right, the Bible uses the word born. That's why I use the word born. But it's B-O-R-N-A, not B-O-R-N. B-O-R-N-E, carried by four. Y'all with me? All right. We talked again last time we were together. We said now healing was a main part of Jesus' earthly ministry. So it is still going to be a part of his ministry now because the Bible says that Jesus is the same.
Yesterday, today, forevermore.
How often is he the same? All right, always. Does he ever change?
No.
Does he ever change?
No.
All right, so remember we said, now that means whatever he did, he does now. And whatever he does now, he will always be doing. All right, because he does not change. So if healing was an important part of his ministry when he was here on the earth, it still is an important part of his ministry. Now what we're doing is we're looking at the individual cases. There are about 19 individual cases where Jesus healed somebody. By that I mean where we're told what the person has, we're told what Jesus did to heal them, and we're told whatever they did to get their healing. Now it seems like that there are more than that because the Synoptic Gospels. What's the Synoptic Gospels? What's the Synoptic Gospels?
Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Why they call that?
All
right, because generally the same stories that are in one is in the other. There will be some differences, of course, because everybody's point of view, the Holy Ghost uses that person's point of view. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the Synoptic Gospels. Generally, you find the same stories in each one of them. So you'll have the same healing recorded a lot of times in each one of those stories. John, for whatever reason, is called the other gospel because he's got stories in his that the other three do not carry. But since it made it to the Bible, it must be true anyway.
Amen.
Amen. All right, six of y'all believe that. Let's do that again. Amen. Since John's in the Bible, it must be true.
Amen.
That was a little bad. That's still about C minus, but I'll take that tonight. All right. Then now go to the book of Luke. There are these places where we see Jesus heal them all. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Let's start out, I think, at verse 17. Are you there? Now, remember we said, when you come to church anytime, all right, anytime you come to church, don't just come to church. Don't just sit in a service. Always exercise your faith.
Amen.
See, if you go to believing for God to speak to you, he can change everything about the service just to make sure that what you need, you get. All right. See, I don't care where you are. The effect of the service is not just dependent on whoever is speaking. It's also dependent on the people that are hearing and how hungry they are for the word of God. All right. So see, I'm just coming to church. Don't come no more then. All right. Till you can release your faith. All right. All right. Because it's not going to do you any good just to hear what I got to say. You need to hear what the Holy Ghost got to say to you about what we're going to say. All right. And that's why, you know, when I go to a meeting, I don't write down everything they said because I'm about to tape. I write down what the Holy Ghost says to me. And, you know, you be sitting inside some people. I can't do that. I'm just sitting there because I'm going to listen to the tape over and over and over and over again anyway. I want to hear, but the Holy Ghost say, now, that was for you. That I need to write down. So I need you to release your faith so this can benefit you, that you believe that God will speak to you, especially if there's sickness and disease going on in your body. While the word is being spoken and taught, you can be healed. Because see, we're believing for miracles to flow. And five of y'all are with me. Amen. That's all. We don't need the rest of them. Five of us can do it by ourselves. The rest of you can just sit and watch. That's fine. But you got to quit coming to church and just coming to church. Now, I know you, you know, you probably raised in some denominational church like I did. We came to church to be entertained. You know, the singing and the announcements, the morning prayer. Remember them? That'll tell me where you're from right there, if you know what a morning prayer is. See? And we came to be entertained, see? But you don't come to church for that anymore. We're coming to receive something from God. And there's no way to receive something from God if you're not believing for it. All right? Okay. All right. Where was I? Luke 6, right? Did I get y'all any verses?
17.
That's exactly right. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him and healed them. So how many people got healed? All right. Now, but see, we're not told what's wrong with this group of people. We're just told it's a multitude, and they came down to get with Jesus, and however many came, all of them got healed. Now, remember we said there had to be at least one scoundrel in that crowd. Amen? Had to be at least one person in that crowd that didn't pray that morning. Right? Somebody that didn't put their tithe in, took their tithe and bought a camel with it. Are you following me? See, here's why I'm pointing that out to you. Don't let the devil get you into condemnation because you haven't dotted every I, crossed every T. Nobody has. But you still have a right to be healed. All right? What he'll try to do is get your heart condemned. All right? Get you feeling bad about yourself. And we'll see that in the lesson tonight. And then if he can get you feeling bad about yourself that you're not worthy, you won't reach out with your faith and get anything. All right, there had to be in these crowds, in these multitudes, there had to be some scoundrels just by reason of the multitude. Everybody followed after Jesus was not, you know, just good folk. If you've ever been to any healing crusades, I won't call any names, but people will come to get healed. They'll be out in the lobby smoking cigarettes, waiting on the time when at the service, certain things are going to go forth, and then they'll... And they'll walk in to get their healing. Because heathens do understand something we don't. I ain't got to be perfect. Because if we had to be perfect to get it, ain't no need to be in here. Well, other than me. No, I'm kidding. I'd be the last one. Amen. All right. So what did we do last week? Number one, remember this. Everything that Jesus said and did is a direct revelation of the will of God for all men for all time. All right, now that's important to note, all right, because this, if you can get a hold of that truth alone, you won't be fooled by a whole bunch of foolishness. All right, anything and everything Jesus did is a direct revelation of the will of God for all men for all time. That's why we know healing is the will of God. That's why we can boldly say sickness is not the will of God. Now, here's why. You never see Jesus put sickness on anybody. For sickness to be the will of God, it would have to flow from Jesus to somebody. Now, we can see where he said, you know what? Cancer. Boom. All right. Now we can come to a conclusion. Sickness is the will of God. But even some of this foolishness that we have learned in church, you do not see in the Bible. You don't see Jesus tell anybody, it just ain't time for you to be healed. Evidently, everybody came to Jesus individually. They came at the right time because they all got healed. You never see Jesus say, now hold on to that. I'm trying to teach you something. God's working something out in you, so you just hold on to it. You don't see that. Now, that's something you can hear across pulpits, but you don't see it in the Bible. And remember now, we came up with this deep, so deep we couldn't write it down, this deep equation. For something to be scriptural, what do you got to have?
Scripture.
For a thing to be scriptural, you got to have scriptures. And if a thing don't have scriptures with it, it ain't scriptural. And just to keep my reputation, remember we found out last week, it's the will of God for you to have much, much more than enough.
That's right.
And we proved that scripturally. We got scriptures for that. So see, have much, much more than enough is scriptural. Are you following me?
Yes.
Again, see, we'd have to see somebody sow a seed and Jesus make them broke. And then we could come up and say, well, broke's the will of God. Right. Because Jesus put broke on that man after that man sowed a seed. But we saw two people in the Bible that sowed seed and walked away with more than enough.
Yes.
Matter of fact, Peter retired from fishing.
Amen.
Went into ministry. Now, see, watch this. A thing can be going along a certain way for a long time and still turn just like that. Are you listening to me now? I mean, you might have been sick for years. It can turn just like that. You might have been broke forever. Your mama was broke, daddy was broke, granddad, everybody. Your whole family, last name, broke. When we look up broke, y'all picture in the dictionary. It can turn just like that. And it is the will of God. That ain't going to get us in no less trouble, you follow me? People still going to be mad when you say that. But I don't care. It's Bible. All right? Anything that we can see in the scriptures is scriptural. And if we can't see it in the Bible, we don't believe it.
Okay. That's right.
Four of y'all in agreement with that. Praise God. All right. Then the second thing we saw, that one method that Jesus used to heal people was he would rebuke sickness and disease. Let's go again to Luke chapter 4. Peter's mother-in-law got healed here in Luke chapter 4. Verse 38. Are you there? Luke 4:38 says, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Isn't that good? Peter had a house. And Simon's wife's mother, or his mother-in-law, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. He stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto them. All right? He rebuked the fever. Now, if you didn't write this down or you don't know this, write this down. You as a believer have authority.
Amen.
Let's go to the book of Ephesians. While you're turning, say it. I have authority.
I have authority.
Over all darkness.
Which includes...
sickness and disease.
Sickness and
disease. Ephesians chapter 2, please. Are you there? Look at verse 6 and verse 7. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then verse 7 says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Say this out loud. God wants to be good to me. God loves me. God blesses me. God
is my friend.
That's important to note. See, one of the reasons that God saved you was so in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and not his evil towards you, his kindness towards you. Now, watch. That means that if God put cancer on us, cancer is not kind.
No, it's not.
Cancer is not good. If God put some kind of sickness or disease on you, that wouldn't be kind. And the Bible says that one of the reasons he saved you was to show his kindness toward you. But now notice, wherever he is seated, that's where we are seated also. All right? Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Well, that could have been terrible. Ephesians 1 verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, where's Christ seated?
In the heavenly places.
Where are we seated?
In the heavenly places.
All right, wherever he is, we are.
That's right.
All right.
Glory.
All right. Verse 21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Well, Christ is the head. We're his body. But everywhere my head goes, my body goes too.
Amen.
I've never left my head anywhere.
Amen.
Are you following me? Now, if he's seated in heavenly places above everything, that means you're seated there also, because the Bible says we're seated with him. If he's far above everything, that means spiritually you are far above everything also, which means you have authority over darkness. Cancer's a name. I have authority over it, so I can tell it. You need to get up out of here. You need to cease, desist. You need to quit operation here. You need to stop. See, you and I have authority, but oftentimes we don't use it. All right? You don't have to pray about everything. Some stuff you can just talk to. See, notice Jesus did not rebuke the devil. Nothing wrong with rebuking the devil. Y'all to do it just for fun sometimes. All right? Nothing wrong with praying, asking God to do something. But there's certain things you have authority over. I mean, now, if I gave you a key and said, you know, I want you to open the door on Wednesday nights, wouldn't it be foolish for you to call me and say, Pastor, is it all right if I open the door? Yes, sweetie, I gave you the key. The reason I gave you the key is so you can open the door. Well, why do you think God gave you authority? So that when the devil shows up, you can tell him, oh, wait a minute. Off limits here. You're off limits here. Oh, see, when your money gets short, you don't need to cry. You need to tell the devil, you need to leave my money alone. Get out of my cash. Get off of my children. Listen, if you come on the job, this is sanctified space where I am. Wherever I go, it's sanctified. So don't bother me on my job. See, generally, bullies will take whatever territory you afford them. And so the devil is an outlaw, so he's not going to obey the law. It has to be enforced on him. What the devil want to do right? Because he's the devil. And you got to make him leave you alone. Are you following me?
Yes.
Well, the doctor said I'm going to die. Hold up. Devil, you must be crazy. Sickness, disease, you cannot live or exist in and on my body. I order you in Jesus' name to leave. That's what if I said and it don't go. Excuse me? But if I said it might not, excuse me? What do you think will happen if Jesus told it to go? Well, same thing will happen when you tell it to go. That's if you ever tell it to go. I mean, if you tithe and y'all to call riches to your house. Notice what I said, rich. Says. You ought to call increase to your house. When something is missing, you ought to call it in. Don't sit and cry about it. Just, no, I got authority. Come here. See, come here. See, money, blessing, come here. The Bible says there's new mercies released every day. You ought to call for yours. I mean, if he says they're out there, then they're out there. So you ought to get yours. Yeah, come on, you follow me? See, that's authority. Think about it. Have you ever had a boss? Have you ever been a boss? Have you ever had to manage somebody? They couldn't do anything without you telling them what to do. So if you want healing to come, you got to tell it. I'm right here. Get on this. Get inside this. You got to start talking to every cell. Every cell. Line up with the perfection that God created you to operate in. And you got to stick with it through all hell, all whatever break loose. I don't care. And that ain't no joke, because the devil would kill you if he can. You got to hang in there, boy. You got to hold on. No. I'm the one in authority. Some of y'all ain't going to have to switch it, because you act like the devil is Jesus' cousin or something, rather than a fallen angel. And you got to start. You got to get in your mind, wait a minute. I'm the one here with authority. I'm the one seated with Jesus. I don't have to put up with darkness. And I mean, in the middle of all hell breaking loose, just sit there calm, cool. Don't let the devil know you're sweating.
Amen.
Just sit there just as calm and cool. Everything going to be all right. Let's see the way, man. I see the doctor say you're going to die. You're going to be dead. No, I'm not. We think we're going to lose everything. We ain't never going to be able to make it. If this don't work out, what are we going to? Oh, my God. No, we're going to be all right. You're going to be fine. Every time you get in a mess, you act like that's the first one. You ever notice that? Ain't that amazing? Every time you get in a mess, what are we going to do? Same thing we've been doing. All the other messes we've been in, who got us out? Jesus. Like this, Lord, I ain't never been in trouble before. Yes, you have. You've been in multiple troubles. And what did the Bible say? When I'm in trouble, I cry unto the Lord, and he delivers me out of them all. Amen?
Amen.
All right, come on, tell your neighbor, don't make me rebuke you. Now, can you turn with me? Let's do tonight's The Man Born by Four. Go to Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 2, and Luke chapter 5. Can you do more than one thing at a time? I should have asked that first, huh? Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 2, and Luke chapter 5. Synoptic gospel, same story. Come on, y'all, loosen this Wednesday night. We having, you know, it's the summertime. We'll have a good time. And learn something. And get the devil up out your life. Now, how many of y'all believe healing is the will of God? Yes. For now, watch. You got to go further. For everybody. Amen. All right. Now watch. This is a side issue, but this will help you. Most people in that are Christians use their own experience to determine what the will of God is. Right. Which is arrogant. At the very least, because what we're saying is, whatever I do to receive is right. So consequently, if I didn't receive, then it's not the will of God. Now, that's how we came up with the notion that we prayed for certain people, they didn't get healed, so healing wasn't the will of God, at least not for everybody. We came up to that conclusion because we prayed for folk. They died anyway. Well, then it must not have been the will of God. No. See, now watch. Your failure to receive does not denote or qualify what is or is not the will of God. Because people fail to receive for all kind of reasons. Your experience is not doctrine for everybody. Nor does it tell us what the will of God is. Because you never get rich, don't mean rich ain't the will of God. Just mean you didn't get it. Okay, see, here we go. John chapter 1. I can see folk frowned all up now. I didn't say John, but I'm saying John now. And you got 10 fingers, so figure it out. No, I didn't say John, because I didn't mean to go to John. But you can see folks frowned all up. And so let's clarify something now. Right here. John chapter 1, verse 1. Are you there? All right, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, watch verse 12. But, look at verse 12. We read that a lot. And I mean, you know that by heart almost. Because we read that a lot. But, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now watch, everybody that received Jesus as Lord and Savior get saved. Who are the only people that get saved? The people that receive it. Well, who's going to get healed? The people that receive him as their healer. Who's going to be prosperous? The people that receive him as the person that prospers them. All right, now watch. We believe everybody can get saved, but everybody doesn't. But because people don't, it doesn't mean it's not the will of God. It just means they didn't receive. Right? Well, then see, the same thing had to be true with healing. See, everybody can be healed. But the people that are going to get healed are the people that receive Jesus as their healer. And if you don't receive him as such, you are not going to get anything from him. And it's never going to be on the sending end that there's a problem. The problem is always on the receiving end. Well, see, no. Well, why are people prosperous? Well, people get prosperous because they receive God as the meter of all their needs. God meets all my needs. I'm supposed to be prosperous. I obey when he tells me to do something. So he's made me prosperous. But I receive him as such. I ain't ashamed. Amen. Somebody asked me, do you believe in prosperity? Without no question. Sure, 100%. And don't let nobody mock you. Well, you one of them health and wealth preachers. Yes, I am. Now, why? Ask him this. You got change for $500? No, I ain't got it. I do. Why are you ashamed of a blessing from God? I talk in tongues. I don't care. You a tongue talker? Yes. Without question, I certainly am. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'll bust out right here if I want to. Oh, God, you one of them tongue talkers. Yes, I am. You should talk in tongues too. Why are you going to be ashamed? I'm a receiver. God, what do you got for me? I don't care what people think. See, everybody that will receive can get. But the only people who won't get are those who don't receive. Now, that always puts the onus on our end. What happened? You didn't receive it. Yes, I did. Then where is it? Because if you saying you did your part, then you got to say God didn't do his part. Why is that important? Because, see, if you'll get honest and true with yourself, you can receive every time. You hear what I said? I mean, if somebody walked the aisle and want to get saved, couldn't they get saved? Well, by the same token, somebody walked out to be healed, they should get healed. Somebody walked out to get delivered, they should get delivered. Somebody walked out to decide I want to be prosperous and start obeying God, you should be prosperous. Amen. As many as received him. All right? So now my experience or your experience does not tell us what the will of God is. The will of God is in the book. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
The will of God is in the book. And you got to get the book in your life so you can be in the will of God.
Amen.
Well, over here, the will of God, and we don't believe in healing. Well, you ain't going to be bothered with any. But that doesn't mean it's the will of God. It just means because you won't receive it, God can't do anything for you. Come on, y'all follow me now.
Amen.
And see, some of the stuff that's blocked out of your life, you're doing it. Because you just won't receive. Okay, amen. All righty. Here we go. Let's start in Matthew. Let's read that one first. Matthew chapter 9. And what I want to do tonight is let's start paying attention to what people did to get their healing. All right, and let's kind of keep track of that because it's going to be important. Matthew chapter 9, are you there?
Yeah.
Verse 1 says, he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go to your own house. And he arose and departed to his own house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now notice the healing gave God glory. Now watch, sickness does not bring God glory. It could be an occasion for glory, but only when the healing takes place. All right, Mark. Mark what? Exactly, thank you. That sound right? I'm gonna trust y'all. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was borne by four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? What's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go your way to your own house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we've never seen it on this fashion. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 5. You know, Jesus talk a little trash. You see that? You see how I mean, it's kind of subtle, but you see how Jesus talk, you know, talk a little trash to him, don't he? He said, what do y'all think is easy for me to do? Just tell him I can forgive his sins or for him to rise and walk. But so you can know I can do either one. Get up, take your bed, go home. Ain't that cool? He ain't touch him. He ain't put no oil on him. He basically talking to them. He said, all right, I hear y'all. Because, you know, when you think stuff, God can hear you. Now, when Jesus here on the earth, see, that was gifts of the Spirit. He couldn't hear, you know, people feel like he's just walking around hearing everybody's thoughts. It was just as the Holy Ghost manifested, all right, that he could pick up their thoughts, get a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. He could know what they were thinking. All right, he said, now, boys, I hear y'all thinking, what do you think? You think it's easy for me to just say your sins be forgiven or rise up and walk? Which one you think is easy? Well, he didn't give him a chance to answer. He said, so you can know I can do either one, go home.
Right.
Ain't that cool? I wouldn't even looked at him. Just gone home. With a pimp going off, man. All right, Luke chapter 5. Now let's milk this one. Luke 5, we're going to start at verse 15. It said, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Excuse me. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now notice this statement. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now watch, this is interesting. Jesus has a meeting, and all the scribes, all the Pharisees, they come to the meeting. All right, now they didn't come to get healed. They came to find fault. Because they're picking up that this Jesus is getting dangerous. All right, so they come to find some kind of fault with him. Yet, now the Bible says they missed something because the power of God was present to heal them. But they're there to judge. To find fault. Now get this. When you find fault, you judge. When you judge, you're going to be judged. Now listen to me. Certain things, they just flat out ain't none of our business. There's certain things that you ain't got no business having an opinion on. Because your opinion's going to end up being judged or judging. What do you think about this preacher? I don't have an opinion. Come on, bad bro. You bound to have an opinion. No, I won't let myself have an opinion because it's none of my business. See, I've not called anybody into the ministry. So whoever is doing whatever, that's God's servant. And it ain't none of your business. And you need to keep your mouth out of it. All right, let's drop it down some. Even what's happening among us. See, she ain't none of her business.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
I wonder why she doing that. That ain't none of that ain't none of. Why are you concerned about? Ain't you got enough stuff to keep up with by yourself? That's why most of your mess might not be fixed, because you ain't paying no attention to your stuff, trying to pay attention to everybody else. I'm telling you, if you judge, you're going to be judged. There's certain stuff just flat out, it ain't none of my business, so I don't care. I don't care. Why does he do that? I don't know. And sometimes people call you and ask you stuff you know. You know what happened right there between so-and-so and Deacon so-and-so? What, did you hear about that? I did hear about that. What happened? I'm not saying. Boy, it got quiet. Is this the judging crowd right here? Now, this is Wednesday night. We supposed to be the real saved folks. All right, you got to, and learn to do this too. Sometimes you go, I've been places and people were running games financially. I've had people run games on me financially. And, you know, somebody will bring that person's name up later. What about so-and-so? He's just a man of God. That's it. You know, know that boy stole $600 from me. I'm telling you, that boy there, he ain't no good. He's sorry. You better hush. You better hush. Well, Pastor, I ain't judging. That's just true.
Jesus name.
But it ain't lovely. It ain't a good report. So what are you doing with it in your mouth? Be very careful. See, plus what you sow, you reap. So just be very careful. See, it's a bulldog rule. If I walk through your yard, bulldog bite me, and I know you got a bulldog, I ain't no need to get mad at the bulldog because I ain't coming through the yard no more. So see, the boy, he play a little game with his folk. All right, whatever we take up, we're going to get to the man of God. But we had people there. So they came around, they put a lot of money in. So once that, he took some of the money out and then just said, here, you can have this. Well, I ain't come from the money anyway, so I don't really care, you know. But you be like, and they want about 12 folk, you know, they know how. And then you can understand why you ain't got but 12 folk. And people don't put these two things together. One of the reasons you have decrease or you don't increase is because you ain't faithful. And you got to identify these areas where you are not faithful, and you got to become faithful in them. And you're never going to get nowhere deceiving people. You're never going to get nowhere judging people. Learn how to hush. That if gossip get passed around, you ain't in it. Because ain't nobody here with us. Most of the time, you don't know what you're talking about anyway. You wasn't even there. Somebody going to tell you a story that they heard from somebody else, and we pass it along like it's gospel. Man, I was sitting one night, I was traveling. Me and I think Elder Rob was with me, and these guys were sitting around talking about Oral Roberts, Ken Copeland, Creflo Dollar. And I'm just sitting there, and Elder John was with us, I think. And him and Elder Rob trying to save my life. So they come and say, Pastor, you ready to go? I said, nah, man, I'm cool. F can't cool. So they said, man, Oral Roberts did this, and Ken Copeland did this. They came back, Pastor? You ready to go? Nah, man, that's cool. We can leave a little bit. But that third time it hit me. Yeah, let's go, man. Let me get up out here. Because, see, all these people, they ain't have enough people in their church to get a group discount on nothing. And see, they bad mouthing somebody. God about to kill everybody in the room, and I'm sitting up in with my dumb self. See, you don't even really want to be around when the story going around.
Thank you, Lord.
They came and said, Pastor, you ready to go? Nah, man, cool. Pastor, ready to go? Nah, that third time. Okay, I'm thick, but I ain't that thick. Let's get out of here, man. Let's live. Watch that. Now, watch. When we come to a service, don't be judging the move of God. All right? Because skepticism affects the corporate anointing. Now, it can't affect whether you individually get something from God, but can affect what God does for us all. So you have people, I don't believe none of this mess. Or I'll give you, let's make it easy. You know, Sunday morning, praise and worship. About 20 minutes in, some folk get tired. People, it don't take all that. It don't take all that. Man, we can just, you know, because then we should sing a morning hymn, doxology, maybe one more song, and that's it. But see, you can't really get God to manifest with the doxology. Y'all know what the responsive, remember that look? Come on now, remember that? And we all shall be there, and then we'd all read a little part. And then before the choir would walk in, they would sing a little, like a little, we called in our church the doxology, just a little dry song. That's in our church. I didn't say it was in your church, so you don't have to be mad. That's in our church. And see, people aren't used to praising God. So they'll be like, okay. And they'll just sit down. And see, that's why it's important sometimes that believers get together.
Amen.
Are you following? It's important sometimes that believers get together and talk about stuff that deals with us so that we can have a corporate move of God. Because skepticism can affect what God wants to do. Now, also watch this. Watch, because this is judging too. And people don't judge this correctly. All right, when you hear something, you say, well, I've heard that before.
Okay.
What are you preaching on? What are you preaching on marriage? Okay, well, I'm going to go to my cousin's church because I heard that before. Or what are you preaching on? Prosperity. Yeah, well, I don't want to hear that. I've heard that before. Yeah, but you don't have 420s in your pocket. You might have heard it, but you don't know it. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? Because what you know, you produce. And we don't judge the word right. The word is food. It's food. Watch. If every evening, I gave you some wild rice, some asparagus, and some boneless, skinless chicken breast. Every evening, that was dinner. Now watch. Your body wouldn't go, hold up. I'm tired of this. Where can't we get some pork chop? Your body don't care. If you put it in your mouth, it's going to break it down. It's going to turn it into energy, and it's going to use it. Because all things being equal, that's a balanced enough meal for you to get energy to go. And so if I fed it to you every night, you can live on it. But it's your mind that goes, I need something different. I want to taste. See, your body don't really care. Now watch. Your spirit does not care. If Elder John did the same time and offer message 52 weeks a year, it would still keep your faith in that area strong. It's just you need to hear something different. Because we don't understand. The word is food. You should be excited about it if it's the same thing. Woo, he's going to preach on finances again. Glory! Why? Because it's going to keep my spirit sharp in that area. You only have faith for what you are presently hearing anyway. Yeah. Right? So what we be trying to do, we be trying to get a now blessing on past faith. Something you heard 8 weeks ago, now you're going to believe God. And it don't work. Now you know it head, but you ain't got it heart. Because you don't understand the principle. Don't make no difference. You know what, y'all? We're going to do this all over again. Glory! Because it's word. It's word. All year long, going to preach on healing. Ah, we all going to be well. What we do is, shoot, man, I'm tired of this. Like, you got it. Faith don't work like that. It's not static. It don't get somewhere and stick. It gets and it'll decrease as you use it and as nothing happens with it. And so you have to keep feeding it. That's why you don't have any money, because you don't listen to it. I don't want to hear that. That's why you're broke. You can't be rich with God and never hear how to get there. You got to hear it over and over and over and over and over. Now, come on. You didn't make A's in everything you took in school. And there is no mathematics devil. There is no English devil. There is no science devil. Now, I didn't get A's in everything. And there was no spiritual opposition. But there's opposition from me receiving my healing, receiving my prosperity. I've got to always recognize I can't ever not be excited about the word. I'm blessed enough to be anywhere where I can hear the word. It's a blessing. My faith is about to be fed. The thing that I manifest with is about to get some nourishment. You ought to go crazy. Every time. People ought to be like, what is wrong? Too. He said the same thing last week. I don't know, but I'm hungry again. Come on, if I was real hungry and you had fried chicken, you think I'd go, well, I had that 2 weeks ago. I'd be like, give me 2 pieces of that on my mouth. Boy, you got some hot sauce up in here? Come on now. Come on, wouldn't you? Well, see, we got to get to the same place with the word. And anybody that's in your crew that ain't excited about the word got to go out the crew. You can't be in my crew if you don't love the word. See, we're going to talk about love again. Ah, thank you, Jesus. I need that. Glory. We're going to talk about this again. Because, see, all that happens is when we're on it, your faith rises. But if you don't use it and keep up with it, it'll wane until we come around to it again. And you'll find people say they've heard something 3 or 4 times, and then they'll go that fourth time, woo, that's what that is. That's what I need. I need to hear that. Well, wait a minute. You've heard that 3 other times. What happened? Didn't do anything with it. See, your faith, it feeds off of the word. And so anytime you get to hear word, you be excited. because your faith's going to another level. Anytime. 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 So I put the tape in, ride it all week. I said, I heard that. Hear some more. Are you, my bad. No, that was me. That was me. It ain't Jesus ain't coming yet. That was me. That was me. I hit it with my thumb. You follow me? Like at our house, because you know we eat only certain things, we have kind of like a regimen. You know, because we kind of cut some stuff out of our diet. So we eat the same thing. But I'm happy. I'm happy. And let me say, well, Jesus, I've had turkey before. I've had fish before. My God, come on. Don't get me wrong, every now and then, let's fry some chicken. You know, just every now and then. You follow me? But basically, we eat the same thing over and over again. And so you got to learn how to get excited about the Word of God. People that have strong faith have excitement about the Word. If there's something that comes up and you ain't really excited, it tells us where your faith is. If you're complaining, if you're whining, you're in doubt and unbelief. That's like the service engine soon, like, I don't know why God won't hear me. I done did everything I know to do. Wonder what's wrong. You. Low faith. Go get your word taste. Well, I've heard them already. Evidently not enough.
Amen.
Amen. Oof. All right, where were we? Come on. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Verse 18 says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, that's just, you know, two verses, but think about this for a minute, because this is serious business. Now, you know, think, we don't know how far they came. We just know that there's four guys carrying this one guy because he's got the palsy. He's paralyzed. We don't know where they came from, how far they had to carry him. They get to the meeting. At least they're coming to where Jesus is. But all these scribes and Pharisees got all the best seats, got all the best parks. They can't get in. Now, wouldn't it be easy to think about how many people would say, well, we got to the meeting and we can't get in. So it just must not be the will of God. We prayed. We asked God to make a way. Well, there ain't no seats, ain't no parks. You know, Joe, yes, I'm going to just call him Joe. Joe, we did the best we could. Think how many people just went back home. See, now watch. Christians, everything got to be perfect or they give up on you. I had to wait in line to go to the bathroom. I'm sorry. You need to be quicker. I ain't coming back to church. Everything, it's too hot in here. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too cold. Tate wasn't ready when they said it. If everything got to be perfect. All right. These guys get to the meeting. They find out they cannot get in. Now, it says something about what kind of guys you're dealing with, because somebody had to say, Joe, we know Jesus in there. Won't we go up on the roof? There might not be 1% of the people in this room that would let anybody take them up on a house if you was paralyzed. And the devil is a lie. You better take me back home. Stop by the store and get some Vic Sam and rub on me. I'm going to just be paralyzed for the rest of my life. These boys would not be denied. Somebody said, Joe, look, man, I tell you what we could do. Sound almost like the ideas we used to get when we was high, you know. Tell you what, let's do. Jesus in there, we know he in there. We'll take you up on the roof. See, now, okay, shows you where these boys were. If Jesus is in there and he's healing, I'm getting it.
That's right. Amen.
Take me up there. Now, all right, now we got to get up on the roof. Now, don't watch. I'm doubting they was traveling with a ladder. So they got to figure out a way to get a paralyzed man up on the roof. All right, now you know, say we, you know, all right, I tell you what, we'll go get up on the roof and then y'all lift him up to us. Cool, all right, so two guys get on the roof, the other two trying to, you get him almost up there, he slipping. Hey man, come on now. Now somebody can come up and say, well, see that, it must not be the will of God. Oh man, hold up, come on now, come on, give, let's go, give me a, woo, so they get him up on the roof. They on the roof. They are on the roof. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to tear the ceiling up. Now, Jesus in there having service. He's teaching. And now he, but I know he's having a hard time because there's Pharisees packing the joint. And you know, if you ever been to a meeting, the preachers always get the good seats. So they're all up front. They all decked out, blinging, can on. But they're not listening because they want to be healed. They're trying to find fault. Jesus is preaching, and he might be rolling. I tell you, God wanted, and all of a sudden, and these boys go to kicking and tearing the roof out, and you know that, hey, Jesus! There you go, Joe. You right. What's up, Jesus? Now he having a meeting. He's having service. The thing's been televised all over Jerusalem. He's having service. And all of a sudden, these boys crack the roof open. Now, all right, there you go. All right, Joe, we're going to let you down. Remember, Joe's paralyzed. All right, Jesus probably like, well, somebody believe in me. Because not a soul out there cares. So they let him down. And the Bible says, when he saw their faith. When, now, not before he saw their faith. When he saw, these boys here believe I can do something. Because you got to be convinced. Because if that's your house and that's your roof, they not leaving till somebody give me an address and a phone number. Because my roof got to be, see, they just said the heck with it. We got to get up in here. And he saw their faith. And he said, now, Slim, your sins be forgiven. Cool, man, Jesus just cool. He ain't holler at them, scream, he saw their faith. Now, see, watch. When people are in countries like Africa and third world countries, why do they have so many miracles? Well, when a meeting's coming up, they'll walk 4 days to the meeting.
Yes.
Amen.
No, listen. See, they'll walk. They'll walk 4 days. If a mama's baby's sick, she will carry this baby for 4 days in 100-degree weather to get to where the healing power of God is. She don't have to be up front. There ain't no bathroom. I just need to get to where the power of God is. Well, when somebody will demonstrate that kind of faith, God's going to show up.
Amen.
Man, we got cars and we can't get to church on time. You live around the corner and you ain't never seen 11 o'clock. Come on, you follow what I'm saying? I mean, see, if you had to walk from your house, you wouldn't be here. Much less 3 days in 100-degree weather. Oh, I don't want to be here that bad. Mom hurt, but I can make it. I can make it. Man, you know, when people would demonstrate that kind of faith, that kind of confidence in God,
yes.
He shows up.
Yes.
When we got air-conditioned cars, I'm tired. I can't make it. It's hot. You got a garage. You ain't even going to go outside. Are you following me? Man, these boys, he sees that they believe in. So he says, now, son, listen, your sins be forgiven. And they go through the same thing again, the Pharisees. Who do you think he is? He blasphemer. Who do you think he is? Jesus hears their thoughts. He said, now, listen, what do you think? You think it's easy for me to say your sins be forgiven or arise, take up your bed and walk? Now, let's examine that question for a second. Which is easier? What would be easier? let's say it this way, to save you or to heal you? What do you think is easier? See, y'all think it's a trick question, so you won't say nothing. See, hate to be embarrassed. Ain't nobody going to embarrass you. All right, what's easier? Tell us, ask about it. What's easier? To save you. So we say, all right, it's easier to save you than it is to heal you. Well, now what is it? See, this is why you don't have church meetings. You see what I'm saying? Because we'd be here forever trying to figure this out. All right, let's get a consensus right here, all right? What's easier, heal or forgive? Say it's the same thing. Okay, they say it's the same thing. But what do they know? See, well, they're sitting way over there. Now, let me talk to the folk here in the middle. What's easier? Y'all say it's easier to get healed than it is to get saved. Okay, that's fine too. Amen. Come on over here now. South Amen Corner. What is it? They say it's the same. All right, now watch. How did both of them come about? Back up. No, you back up. How did they come up? How did healing and salvation come to pass? Okay, I'll help y'all. Jesus died on the cross. Right? My bad, I should have said for us. All right, for us, the same act, in essence, delivered both of them to mankind. I'm saved because Jesus died on the cross. I get healed because Jesus died on the cross. So the answer is, it's the same. But it's different in our head. To us, getting saved is easy. Everybody gets saved. Because, watch, everybody gets saved by faith. But everybody gets healed by faith. But the difference is, see, we exercise great faith when you get saved. Because you could come up with your pants falling a half off of you. You could come up with you know, Mr. T starter kit around your neck. You could just come up, you know, pimping and whatnot. All right, we grab you by the hands. We say the sinner's prayer with you. Now, watch. Your speech doesn't change. How you look doesn't change. But we know you exercised your faith through this sinner's prayer, so we pronounce you saved. But with healing, if we don't see something, we don't think you got it. Same Jesus, on the same cross, at the same time, gave you both of them. It ain't easy to get one or the other. It's just we got great faith for salvation, and we got minor league faith for healing. And we got to jack up our healing faith. Because really, we got to get people to believe, all right, once this prayer amens, it's over. All right, even if you didn't hear what I said, just hear for the amen. Because when I say amen, you healed. I'm going to pray with you about your healing. All right, and whatever, don't even worry about it. All right, when we amen this, you healed. And we got to get to where at the amen, we go, woo, praise God. And even if I limp back, what happened at church today? I got healed. I got healed. Well, you still limping? Don't worry about it. Just keep watching. Hide and watch. See, I got healed. And see, before long, man, you ain't really limping like you was limping. Yeah, I know. And before long, now I'm living on purpose. And watch, folks, that's how it happens. That's how it happens. It's the same thing at the same time delivered to mankind through the same gift. We accept one readily, and the other one we need sight evidence. You got to get where you don't. Where I don't really, you know. I mean, I've been trained this last year. I don't really care what I say, cause I've seen some of everything. I'm just healed cause the Bible says so. And I ain't changing. I ain't coming off of it because the devil will kill you if you do. So I'm hanging in here. I'm believing my God, and I don't care what I see. Watch, come on, anybody here with us? Keep smiling. Have you sinned since you've been saved? Have you missed it since you've been saved? Ain't it amazing you ain't falling on your face? God, save me again. I missed it. You just confessed it. I don't even care what it was. We walked in there and you was in the club dancing naked. Father, forgive me. Boom. You come right by church. Well, you might not come by this church, but you'll come by somebody's church. You go to somebody's church. And you'll count yourself as I'm still saved. I'm saved. Well, then what's the difference? All right, if you believe God for your arm to be healed and the thing tightened up more, so what? Doesn't mean if I was really here, wouldn't it be? No, see, this is a faith transaction. It's just like being saved. All right, you got to just accept the fact that I did what Jesus said. I am now cleansed. I'm saved. Well, all your sin disappeared that instant, or you had to work some of it out. What you've been telling people since you made that sinner's prayer? I'm saved. Well, you got to do the same thing. You one day got to settle. All right, it's 8:45 p.m. on a Wednesday night. I received my healing, and you got to tell folk, I'm healed. And I've been healed since 8:45 p.m. Wednesday, whatever date it was. And that, and I'm counting that as the day I received it. And if it be a year for it all show up, I don't care. I'm healed. We are not other people who got to see something for it to be. We believe it, and that's what makes us see it. If you got to wait to see everything, you don't have any faith. And the Bible says he saw their faith. And when he saw their faith, the man got healed. Jesus said, man, get up. Slim jumped up, took his bed, and headed for the house. Now, make sure the devil doesn't get you into condemnation. All right? Now, you got to settle this. Either you're cleansed or you're not. Pastor, I've missed it. Well, ask God to forgive you. Remember what we said. You got to be a professional repenter.
Right.
Anytime you miss it, Father, forgive me. Cleanse me from that unrighteousness. I'm turning my back on that, heading a different direction. Pastor, I said that, but I turned back around. Turn again. How often I turn? Till you quit turning back the other way. You're cleansed. Don't let the devil get you in. You ain't worthy. You're right, devil, I'm not. But Jesus made me the righteousness of God. He made me. He gave me a right to be healed. I have a right to be healed. Right? I don't have to be worthy. Jesus made me worthy. It's not because of my actions. It's because of his actions that I'm worthy. And I'm getting my healing. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going home because it's time. Hop up on your feet. Come on. Real faith will never quit. If you really believe that you're supposed to have something, you keep going for it till you get it. Did you hear what I said? Real faith will never quit. If you really believe you're supposed to have something, you keep going for it till you get it. Come on, think about it. Would you let somebody drag you up on the roof? Are you follow me? Man, Jesus said, now that's faith right there. Boy, get up and go on home. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Everybody with me? All right, come on, say it. I have faith.
I have faith.
I can be healed.
I can be healed.
I can be delivered.
I can be delivered.
Anything.
Anything.
The Bible says is mine.
The Bible says it's
mine. I'm having it.
I'm having it.
Now that's.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
That's just it. I care what happened. I care how many houses you lose, how many cars of yours they come get. Whenever they come to pick them up, just throw in. I just want to thank God I'm prosperous. Every last one of my needs are met. Because I'm not prosperous because I got stuff. I'm prosperous because the Bible says so. And if I keep sticking with the Bible, I'll have stuff. I'm not healed because I feel good. I'm healed because the Bible says so. And it don't make any difference if your nose fall off. Just pick it up, glue it back on, say, Father, I just want to thank you. I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Can't say, oh, God, look at them. I'm dying. No, bend down, pick it up before somebody see it. And just till you can get home, yeah, all right, man. All right, dog. Yeah, all right now. All right. What you doing? Gluing my nose back on. I'm healed. That's it. That's it. Now, listen. Don't get into this foolishness of where, like, these two things. Well, you know, because there are some people that believe, well, you have no business going to the doctor. Listen, God will meet you wherever your faith is.
Yeah.
If your faith, if you believe that God can do something through the doctor, God do something through the docs. If you don't want to go, then don't go. But that's on you now. And don't throw your medicine away thinking that's going to make God do something. Well, you know what? Maybe I just throw this insulin away and then God will have to do something. No, that's witchcraft. That's manipulation. You're not going to manipulate God. God moves by your faith. You're going to move because you threw your medicine away. You're just going to start getting dizzy and you're going to fall out. And you're going to end up down at the hospital anyway. And they're going to have to give you some insulin to bring your blood sugar down. You can't do that. That's not faith. That's not authority. That's presumption and foolishness. Here's what you do. You start getting in the Word of God, and you stick with your medicine. Yeah. And eventually, the Word of God will put you in a place where you don't need any medicine.
Amen. Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Now, again, there's some people who you know, are at a level where they can just believe God. They don't have to do anything with that. I mean, you can be in a situation where maybe, you know, your spouse believes one thing, and you want to do something else. All right, just get in agreement. When we talked about this for your Sunday, just get in agreement. That's what power is. Ain't no need to fuss about nobody's position. Just get in agreement. All right, that's where you at. I'll come down there. If that's where you are, I'll come up there. All right, but we'll agree so that God can get involved, because he'll meet you wherever.
Amen.
Wherever you can believe, that's where he's going. But, man, I've seen people do stupid. I ain't taking them pills. Well, why won't you take them? Well, so, you know, I've been believing there ain't nothing happened, so I just figured if I ain't taking pills, God had to heal me. No, you're going to take them pills. You're just going to be in the hospital when you do. All right, I'm going to throw this. No, don't do that. That's foolishness. Faith comes out of the Word. That's the only place. Bible don't say it come anywhere else. Faith comes out of hearing God's Word. So if you want to build up your faith so you don't need medicine, hear the Word. And eventually it'll put your body in a place where you don't need any medicine.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Join hands with your neighbors. Just need to point that out, because you don't know the emails I get and stuff we've seen. That's why it's wonderful working with the children, people of God, because you can see all kind of stuff. And people feel like they got a revelation. Pastor, I'm going to throw this away. I'm going to throw my insulin away. For what? Well, I feel like, you know, I've been praying. God ain't did nothing yet. Now he'll have to heal me. Are you crazy? You gonna put God's arm behind his back and make God, you going to be in the hospital. You going to wake up. What happened? You in a sugar coma. We had to give you some insulin to bring you back. Don't do that. All right? Amen?
Amen.
All right, now don't say you ain't heard me say that. Don't do that.
Right.
All right? Father, we do thank you and bless you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we are the healed, not the sick. Father, thank you. Anybody on the sound of my voice is having problems in their body, Father, I thank you. Don't let them cast away their confidence in you, Lord God. You said that confidence in you has a great recompense of reward. And so, Father, we thank you that we're going to believe you till you see our faith. And we thank you, Lord God. There'll be healing. There'll be deliverance. It's ours already. Jesus already wrought it for us. It's ours now. And so, Father, we just lay hold on it. We just decree it. We've got faith, and we decree we're healed from the top of our head all the way down to the soles of our feet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hug 2-3 folk, tell them you